Okay, so have you ever like stopped and thought about this? Like how just a regular conversation with the police, like, you're just talking to them, could actually become like the most important thing in a murder case, even before they even arrest anyone.
Yeah, it's kind of unsettling, right?
Yeah, totally. Like
Yeah.
you think you're just like, helping out, being a good citizen, but then boom, everything changes.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today, right? With this, it's People v. Moore. It's a 2011 California Supreme Court case. Super interesting.
It is. Really sheds light on when things get serious legally, even if it doesn't feel like it at the time.
Right. And on top of that, we're going to like really untangle this whole thing, like the felony murder rule in
Yeah,
California.
how it all works, especially, when we're talking about the death penalty. So, law students listening, this isn't just another case to like cram for an exam. Think of it as a practical guide. We're breaking down more, so you get those pivotal points. You know, what Miranda rights come into play and how felony murder operates in California, especially when there's a potential death sentence.
Yeah, like seriously heavy stuff.
For sure.
So this case, it all goes back to Ronald Moore. Back in 98, he was convicted and ultimately sentenced to death. The charge, murder of 11-year-old Nicole Carnahan. And this all happened during a burglary and robbery at her home. And this conviction, it got upheld by the California Supreme Court, 2011.
Tragic case all around.
Absolutely. And that's why we're here, right? To sort of like go through those crucial legal questions that came up from this awful situation. Like, first off, we got to pinpoint when exactly police questioning goes from like just casual questions, to that point where it's legally a custodial interrogation. That's when Miranda warnings kick in.
Right.
To remain silent, right to a lawyer, the whole nine yards.
Right. That line can be super blurry.
For sure. And then the second thing we got to unpack is how California's felony murder rule applied in this case. And here's the thing, burglary and robbery, those weren't formally charged as separate crimes, but they became the basis for what the law calls a special circumstance in the murder charge. And in California, that can lead to the death penalty.
Right. A special circumstance changes the whole game.
Definitely.
So I think it's important to set the scene, what the investigators found at the beginning, because it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
They find 11-year-old Nicole Carnahan in her home. Tragically, she had been stabbed 17 times, and there was also evidence of blunt force trauma. The house was totally ransacked.
So brutal.
And what's even crazier is Moore, the guy who ended up convicted, he lived right next door.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so after, like right after this horrible discovery, Moore talked to the police,
Yeah.
right? Gave them a statement, said he'd seen some Mexican intruders in the Carnahan's backyard.
Yeah, but his story really didn't match up with the evidence they found.
Nope, not at all.
There were a few key pieces of evidence that pretty clearly linked Moore to the crime. Investigators found bloodstains on Moore's clothes, and when they did the DNA testing, it matched Nicole Carnahan's blood. Plus, they found stuff stolen from the Carnahan's house inside Moore's trailer.
So that's not looking good at all.
Not at all. And the final piece of the puzzle, they found damage to the fence between the two properties, made it seem pretty clear that Moore used it to get in and out of the Carnahan's place.
Okay, so with all of that in mind, that really unsettling picture of the crime and Moore's like in initial story, let's get into that first legal issue we were talking about, the whole Miranda thing. The Supreme Court had to figure out, like, at what point during the police interview did things shift? Like, when did it stop being just, gathering information and become a real custodial interrogation where Miranda warnings are mandatory?
Right, that's the big question. And the California Supreme Court's majority opinion, they actually focused on a few key points. They highlighted how Moore went to the station voluntarily. And get this, the officers actually told him he was free to leave anytime he wanted.
Oh, wow.
Right. Plus, he wasn't like physically restrained or anything during the interview. So, based on that, they decided he wasn't technically in custody until the very end, right before they officially arrested him.
Huh.
Yeah. And there's this one line from the court's opinion that basically sums it all up. They said, Miranda warnings aren't required just because questioning occurs at the station or police suspect someone.
Yeah, just because they're suspicious doesn't mean you have to get the warning.
Exactly. Suspicion alone isn't enough to trigger Miranda.
Gotcha.
And this whole line of thinking, it actually comes from a really important Supreme Court case, Berkmer v. McCarty. That's where they laid out this reasonable person test.
What's that?
Basically, you ask, would a reasonable person, if they were in Moore's shoes, have felt like they were truly free to just walk out? Like they went to the station willingly, were told they could leave, no physical restraints.
Oh, I see.
So the California Supreme Court said, yes, a reasonable person would have felt free to leave, at least until the point of arrest.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's dive into the second big legal point in this case. That's the felony murder rule and those special circumstances we mentioned. So Moore gets convicted of first-degree murder under this felony murder rule, right? But here's the interesting part. Burglary and robbery, they weren't separately charged.
Right.
So how did those actions become special circumstances? Like, how that happened and how did that make him eligible for the death penalty?
Okay, so this is where California gets really specific with how they handle special circumstances in murder cases. In Moore's trial, the jury, they were given instructions based on what's called 8.84.1. 8.84.1 stands for California Jury Instructions, criminal.
So like the official rules for how the jury should think about the case.
Exactly. And this instruction was really important because it meant the jurors didn't have to all agree on whether the murder was felony murder or premeditated murder.
Wait, so they didn't have to agree on how the murder happened?
They didn't have to be unanimous on that specific detail. They just had to all agree that it was first-degree murder.
I see. So some jurors could think it was planned. Some could think it happened during the burglary. But they could all agree on first-degree murder.
Exactly. And that's tied to a concept the U.S. Supreme Court laid out in Schaud v. Arizona. They call it moral equivalence. Basically, the idea is that felony murder, where a killing happens during another serious crime, and premeditated murder, where it's planned out, those both represent basically the same level of criminal responsibility.
So in the eyes of the law, they're equally bad.
Right. They both justify that first-degree murder charge.
Okay, that makes sense. So going back to the special circumstances, how did the California Supreme Court justify upholding those based on the burglary and robbery?
They zeroed in on two main things about those crimes. First, the burglary. It involved breaking into a home where people lived. California law considers that a particularly serious type of burglary.
Oh, right, because it's a huge violation of someone's personal space.
Absolutely. Second, the robbery involved taking things directly from Nicole Carnahan. Even though she was already, you know, deceased, that action still showed a separate criminal intent.
Oh, so it wasn't just about the killing. He had other goals in mind.
Exactly. The court said that both the burglary and the robbery demonstrated what they call an independent felonious purpose. That means there was a separate intent to commit those crimes beyond just the act of killing.
And that independent purpose thing, that seems really important here.
It's super important. It's a key distinction for felony murder. Let me give you an example. Imagine someone breaks into a house just to kill someone. Like, that's their only goal. In California, that doesn't count as burglary for felony murder.
Wait, really?
Yep. But if they break in to steal something, and then during that burglary they kill someone, that does count as felony murder.
Because of that separate intent to steal.
Exactly. That's the independent felonious purpose. They had a plan to commit a crime separate from the killing. This all ties into California Penal Code Section 190.22. That's the section that lists all the special circumstances that can make someone eligible for the death penalty. And murder during a burglary or robbery are two of them.
Wow, that's pretty complex. So basically you have to prove they wanted to commit another crime, not just kill.
Right, exactly.
So the Supreme Court decision in People v. Moore, it wasn't actually unanimous, right?
You're right. There was a dissenting opinion from Justice Kennard.
Oh, right. What did she disagree with?
She agreed that the death sentence should be upheld, but she had a problem with a specific question the prosecutor asked during the trial. It was about a bloodstain they found in the living room.
And what was wrong with the question?
Justice Kennard argued that even though prosecutors can ask, you know, hypothetical questions sometimes, they have to be based on the evidence that's already been presented.
Mm.
In this case, she thought the prosecutor's question went too far.
Like he was speculating.
Yeah, it was like he was asking the witness to guess or assume things that weren't actually supported by the evidence.
Oh, interesting. So even though the conviction stood, there was still debate about how the evidence was used.
Right, exactly. It shows how carefully the courts look at everything in death penalty cases. Even small things like how a question is phrased can be important.
For sure. So for all our law student listeners out there, what are the big takeaways from People v. Moore? Like, what should they really remember?
Okay, so first off, when you're dealing with felony murder, always, always remember that independent felonious purpose. It has to be there.
Right, the intent to commit a separate crime.
Exactly. And secondly, when you're thinking about Miranda rights, focus on whether there were actual objective restraints on someone's freedom. Like, were they physically held? Were they told they couldn't leave?
Right. It's not about what anyone was thinking or feeling. It's about those concrete actions.
Exactly. And from a purely practical standpoint, for those of you studying for exams, this case is gold. People v. Moore, it covers so many important concepts in criminal procedure, especially with Miranda rights. And it's a great example of how California approaches the felony murder rule.
Yeah, this is definitely a case worth knowing inside and out.
For sure.
So just to quickly wrap things up, we've really gone deep on two main issues from People v. Moore. First, when exactly questioning by the police turns into a custodial interrogation, which triggers those Miranda warnings. And second, all the ins and outs of California's felony murder rule, especially that crucial element of a separate, independent crime being committed.
And this case really brings up some thought-provoking questions, especially for future lawyers. Like, how is technology changing the way we think about custody for Miranda purposes? Like, what about online interactions or digital surveillance? Could that create situations where it's not clear if someone's free to walk away from the police, even if they're not physically detained?
It's a whole new world out there. And when it comes to the felony murder rule, that moral equivalence idea, where felony murder is treated the same as premeditated murder, that raises some interesting questions too. Like, are those really equally bad? Do they show the same level of criminal intent?
These are complex issues, for sure. And if any of this really sparked your interest, I'd highly recommend digging deeper into California criminal law, particularly how Miranda rights are being interpreted in today's world and all the nuances of homicide charges.
There's a lot to learn, and this case is a great starting point.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, People v. Moore, it's a really powerful reminder that we have to balance the rights of individuals when they're dealing with law enforcement with the need to uphold the rules of our justice system. It's a reminder that every case, especially something as serious as a murder case, can have huge implications.